Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Leaf Sky, episode 137. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction. Jim Taddy here for the next 25 minutes or so. Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun will be our guest interview on this particular podcast. Going to talk about Nylander and his 8-year, $92 million deal. Before we get going, bet the action on the ice with the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use the code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. The code is THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. On to the hockey story. So the Leafs getting set to take on San Jose Tuesday night at Scotiabank Arena after sweeping in California, a rare feat, although Detroit just did the same thing. But the Leafs, this was a call to action for them. They had lost to Carolina on home ice just before New Year's Eve, so it was the day before, and they were being, I guess, asked to play more defensive hockey, and they did. The goaltender Martin Jones has done really well. Benoit on the blue line looks like a keeper, and Holmberg playing in the place of Robertson on the third line looks good as well. The rest of the team functions as per usual, and that's good news. The Nylander contract, 8 years, $92 million, $69 million in bonus money. That's one thing that the Leafs have over other teams in the NHL. They really like to hand out the bonus money. Is this a good deal? A lot of people would argue, well, it should have been signed in the summer, but you don't know what the ask was in the summer. You know what the comparables were. I remember saying repeatedly that the comparables of 2023 were irrelevant to Nylander, whose contract expires in 2024. I think I was right. The 11.5 is right where it should be. The term is beautiful for both the player and the team, and I don't normally say that for 8-year contracts, but it all works for me. Let's go deep on this now in our conversation with Terry Koshan from the Toronto Sun. Okay, Terry, so 8 years, $92 million, 69 of it in bonus money. What do you think?
Well, I think, given what Nylander has done, Jim, and the potential that he has, it's a fair contract. And some people are going to say, well, it's too much money. But given the age, 27 is best years, most productive years in the National Hockey League are ahead of him, I believe. And, you know, we're really just seeing this guy on the cusp of what he can be. We got to look at it last year, Jim. We're seeing it more through 30 plus games, nearly at the halfway point now with the Maple Leafs. And again, if the number is upsetting or whatever you want to, however you want to put it, a couple of reminders: A, the cap is going to go up by about $4.5 million next year, and B, it will keep going up. So this contract, by the time it's done, will look awfully good for the Leafs and a lot of money up front for Nylander bonuses. I think everybody's happy, but you don't, as Treliving has said a few times, when you have these players, you want to hold on to them as good as they are. And that's what they've done here with Willie Nylander. And I think the contract's fine. I don't have any issue with it.
Well, and I sort of got to that talking with Frankie C earlier today on the radio. So you draft Austin Matthews, you draft Mitch Marner, you draft William Nylander, and you draft Morgan Riley. I mean, there's a lot of teams would love to be able to say that. The Leafs did, and I don't see that as, well, we have to cost control, so we'll give him this, and if he doesn't like it, we'll trade him or let him go. I mean, that's a negative stance. When you draft those guys, you have to build around them, and so I don't know how much criticism the four guys that I just rhymed off get, but the guys around them probably haven't done the job. That's how I would look at that.
Yeah, you know what, to a degree, too, and I think we're seeing that a little bit this year. You know, the Leafs obviously – the last three games, they've been great to top to bottom, and you know, in sweeping California, not many teams do that. But yeah, you know, I mean, you look at what Matthews is doing, you look at what Nylander's doing. I think Willie's on pace for 119 points, which obviously would be would blow away his personal best in the NHL. He's getting it done. Marner's probably not having the type of season he'd want to have, Jim, if he was being honest. Tavares, you know, still producing and you know. Again, $11 million, whatever. I mean, we can argue that all day, but these guys have been good for the Leafs, all of them, the core guys. And Morgan Riley as well, doing really good things in the blue line, you know, hasn't been hurt, has really been a good anchor for them back there. And I mean that in a positive way as they've got through some other injuries. So they've been good. And, you know, other guys, it depends who we're talking about, I guess. I mean, the first thing is to go to the people that they brought in. And, you know, you haven't seen what you want production-wise out of them, the Max Domi's and Tyler Bertuzzi's of the world. But let's get through the second half here and see how that goes, especially with the guy like Bertuzzi, because he's been doing a lot of really good things. But, oh, they're in a good spot in the standings relatively. They are in third place in Atlantic Division. They still have some games in hand over other teams. Good, I think their winning percentage or point percentage is ninth overall. So you are doing good things as a whole, and it's about doing it consistently now. And they started on this West Coast trip. San Jose Sharks in town tomorrow night, Tuesday night. They should be able to continue it against the San Jose Sharks again.
Yeah, you know, when you're doing the analysis on Brad Treliving and you deal with the guys he brought in, Bertuzzi, Domi, Reeves, and Klingberg, know, that's a point of contention, I would agree.
Yes.
But there's secondary level players that he brought in, like Benoit and Martin Jones, who have certainly gone above and beyond. So it sort of balances out, doesn't it?
It does, and you put Noah Gregor in that group as well. I mean, yeah, it does, Jim, because, you know, a guy like Benoit, you look at it, go, okay, well, he played, like, 79 games for the Ducks last year, not a good hockey team, and what kind of guy are we going to get here? But, you know, they hope that he could come in and add a little bite and stability when he was going to be in there. And I think for a guy like him, what we've seen is all things being equal, he's not going to be a regular on this Toronto Maple Leaf Hockey Club. But all things aren't equal, and there are a lot of injuries to deal with. Lilligan, Klingberg, and Mark Giordano, the main ones, of course, and he's just come in and done really well for them. Martin Jones, I if this hasn't gone better than what the Leafs were hoping or thinking, I don't even know when they signed him, but really when Joseph Woll got hurt and then it was becoming clearer and clearer that Samsonov couldn't play, I don't think they could have expected him to be this good. You know, he's named the second star of the week. He stops 81 of 83 shots in the West Coast, and he's, you know, I don't have his stats in front of me, Jim, but even though he hadn't been in the minors in close to 10 years when he went down in the Marlies to start, it's got to be among his best hockey in the NHL that he's been playing recently. And, you know, that we talk about sample sizes of these guys. Well, Martin Jones, it keeps getting bigger and the numbers shrink. So that's, you know, and that's exactly what you want, of course. And he's been good for them. But Noah Gregor, again, another good depth player who, you know, the more you watch Noah Gregor, Jim, the more I think, at least, how did this guy get through the summer last year without signing somewhere?
Oh, and I know.
He had earned a PTO with someone, or the Leafs, I suppose, in camp. And I don't think he's going to have that same situation in the summer of 2024 this year. I think he'll be signed well before he gets into that type of PTO scenario again. But
I just want to return back to the Nylander signing just because a lot of people will talk about this. I think it's it's maybe a little higher than everybody thought in the summer, but I knew that once he started the season the way he was going, that they'd have to make a call where they'd have to dig deep and get him locked up. Now, when you add in the Matthews 4 years and the 8 years on Nylander, suddenly those two situations could sort of play into a positive. Matthews could look at that, and that when his deal's up, he could want to stay here. The one that causes concern is Tavares and Marner next summer, where they go into exactly where Matthews and Nylander just escaped from. So I don't know exactly how that plays out, but in my mind, Tavares takes less, Marner can't take much more, because I don't think he gets more than Austin Matthews gets. So I think there's kind of I think it's a workable situation. They have to be pretty crafty with it.
They do. My guess would be, Jim, that Marner falls between at least an average annual value between Nylander and Matthews somewhere. So between 11.5 and between 13.25. How that number looks in the end, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. And he's also represented by Darren Ferris, who doesn't go into these things, willing to concede a heck of a lot, right?
Yeah.
In the negotiation. So we'll see how that goes. But that would be where I think it would happen. And, certainly, I suppose Ferris could ask for what Matthews is getting, but I don't think that's realistic, and I don't know that he would do that. It's a different position than what, the center position is. It's just that much more valuable to you. You know, those people up the middle, and there's so many good things that Austin Matthews does. And, Marner, for whatever reason, had to come off the season. It's come off it a bit this year, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about him in the Selke conversation like we were last year. And, the points per game aren't what you'd expect them to be. Still going to get paid. John Tavares, on the other hand, that to me is the really interesting one, Jim. What becomes of him after next season? Is there a, and we should remind too that both of these guys can get going on negotiations July 1. What does that look like for Tavares? What kind of a discount to stay in Toronto is he willing to take? Does he look at it and go, actually, no, I don't want to take a discount. I'm happy with my game, and I want to go try to make as much as I can somewhere else. You never know. But these things have happened before. And, I just don't think the Leafs could go much more than five on him, and certainly not on anything long. And that's right now. I mean, we could, it's January of 2024. We'll see where that is, come a year or so, and whether there's anything done contract-wise to that point. But it's not taking anything away from the player, but you have to factor in age and factor in other things. And, the salary cap, and I know that it's growing like we discussed, and Leafs are going to have more money at their disposal, but the team has to be realistic with John Tavares, and the player does as well. And like I say, I'm awfully curious to see where that goes. But Jim, if he adheres to what he has spoken about and how much he loves being in Toronto and being the captain, I think he would understand what kind of concession he would have to make on the next contract to make it work here. We'll have to see, but that's where I think it goes.
I sort of look at him as, here's, if I'm him, here's what I want. If you'll give me a year more than anybody else will, it makes up for it.
Yes. That could be. And, you structure the contract, so perhaps it doesn't hurt you as much in the end. I guess for the Leafs, that would really only be for what you're paying them, actually, what the actual salary would be. But yeah, we'll see if it gets to that point. But, like I say, he's not getting any younger. It is an everyday, I don't say task or challenge. I don't think that's necessarily the right word, but he has to be on this every day to be the player that he is, Jim. We'll see it before and after practice. And where is he a year, 18 months from now? We'll have to see. But that could be it if he gets another year and the AAV comes down. But at least across that bridge when they come to it. And when they do, I don't think it's going to be a massive worry for them, how that ends up playing out. But it is something that Bachelor Living's have to get off his to-do list at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. The curious thing about the Nylander, and this is a Maple Leaf exclusive, by the way, the signing bonus money, $69 million over 8 years. When you go to Cap Friendly and you look at the signing bonus money, the Leafs pay out before the season starts, like almost top to bottom, there's no team in the NHL could even come within 50% of that. I'm not talking the 69. I'm talking about the number of players that get signing bonuses. Most teams wouldn't go near that with a 10-foot pole. In this case, it works.
Yeah, it does for the Leafs. And, if they can make that work, then take advantage of that, right? And, I know all these guys have no move clauses and that sort of thing, so the chances of them ever getting moved out are slim to none. But, in later years and those contracts are, the actual money being paid is coming down significantly. See if that could work at all in the Leafs' favor. But, it's an interesting way of going about it. But, credit to them for getting it done this way, I suppose. And when you have an opportunity to make these things work like this, then you have to do it.
Okay, so let's go to the road trip, a sweep of California, which doesn't happen often, although Detroit just did the same thing. Yep. Here's what developed for me. Holmberg being rotated on that third line works for me. Benoit has steadied himself, and Jones, the goaltender, is the anointed number one because of a lot of things, but his play is part of it. Those three developments are noteworthy for me.
Yeah, and I'll start with the last one first. Isn't it nice, Jim, for the Leafs that he can be anointed that guy, not out of necessity, but because of the way he's playing, mm-hmm. right? Now you're saying, okay, well, look, we could, if we were, whatever, give Dennis Hildeby a shot here or look down to, you know, the work Samsonov's doing and say, hey, come on, let's hurry this up a bit. They don't have to do that. And Jones, like we talked about earlier, he's been excellent. Benoit, again, bringing the steadiness and, you know, looking good on that pairing with Jake McCabe. And now, because of that, one of the offshoots is you get to have Giordano and Liljegren, both guys coming off injury. In a perfect world, you want them playing together because of that? Maybe not. But, they're able to work through things and grow in that regard. And, one of the reasons why Benoit has been as solid as he's been. It's a tough go right now if you're William Ladjusson or Connor Timmins because there's just not much of an opportunity, and no one hopes for injuries, but that could be what it has to come to for one of those guys to get back in anytime soon. But, those things, Jones, Holmberg, you know, Jim, you go back to last year when we first saw Pontus Holmberg play. I think the first time he got sent back down, Sheldon Keefe made the point of saying, you know, you kind of don't know when or for how long, but he will be back here and he'll be a contributor because he's so smart. So, depth guy, yes. Are you looking for a ton of offense out of him? No. But the fact that you can earn the coach's trust as quickly as he did last year and then continue that on and go do good things for the Marlies and come back and now be that player again, it's all good. And, you know, it's you talk about a tough go. I mean, it's funny how these things can change so quickly. Nick Robertson, Jim, I talked to him on him and Domi on New Year's Day, just how the line was looking before they went out west. And, you know, Robertson scored in back-to-back games and from what I could gather was feeling good about his overall performance, put the puck in the net a few times, you get some confidence back, and he's benched two of the three games on the coast, and it looks like he won't play in the lineup against the Sharks on Tuesday either. So, you know, hopefully he can keep his confidence somehow in that regard, but when Holberg's coming in and giving them solid minutes and is responsible defensively, he can't argue with it.
Well, and let's go back to December 30th against Carolina on home ice where Camp was benched. He didn't play. He didn't dress. And, you know, so centered out for a lack of proper defensive play. And that could have been a flashpoint. I mean, that could have gone south on the coach and the team really fast, but it didn't. It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, it's David Camp is not an unpopular guy in the room. His skill set is recognized and respected by his teammates. So, you know, I don't know what kind of if message sinking in or whatever it is, Jim, what kind of impact or ripple effect that had in the dressing room. But, some of the chattering voices on the outside, like, well, why they're going to really send a message. Why not bench a star? I mean, I don't know. I don't quite see it that way. But, the fact that Keith did it with anybody and did it with a guy that he's come to really rely upon tells you something. And, since then they've been better. I thought they were good that night, too, against Carolina.
Yeah. Well, the power play goals, which he would have been on the ice to kill.
Right. Right. And they didn't give a 5-on-5 goal that night either. So, you know, whatever the message was, settled in the dressing room, the point got across. And, you know, a bit of a raw end of the stick for David Camp. But I think he would admit, too, that his game hadn't been where he wanted it to be. But, he comes out for a game, he comes back, he's been fine, the rest of the team just carries on. And that's a good indication of what these guys can be and are developing into. Just doesn't ruffle the feathers, no one gets upset about it. Yes, it could have flown back at Keith in a bad way. That didn't happen. And here we are three games later with three W's.
Well, it's funny how all this works. I mean, if you go back to at the end of the Columbus game, it wouldn't have been too positive, and you're wondering what they can do. You have to try something. The Camp thing, as you say, and I agree with, could have backfired, but it didn't. And then you go to California and win three. So, I mean, that's always the tonic. Just win.
Yes, it is. And you'll find any way to do it. You know, don't go overboard in that regard. But not only just win, Jim, but just you know, they've been honest victories for the Leafs, right? And I think certainly the one in LA was, to me, was the most impressive. You've got best defensive team in the league as far as goals against go, the best penalty kill, and, you know, the Kings had come into Toronto earlier in the season, I think on Halloween night, and really smothered the Leafs and beat them 4-1. Toronto didn't have a lot going that night. So what happens? You go in, you're starting a trip, you're thinking, okay, how will this go? You just want to maybe start the trip off on the right foot. Are you looking ahead perhaps at the Ducks and Sharks, knowing that both are inferior opponents and we can get the 2 points there? Well, if so, the Leafs didn't display that in that game last week, and were solid for it and rewarded for it. So to me, that's most impressive. You shut them out. Martin Jones does what he does. You go in, you should beat the Anaheim Ducks. You do beat them. It took forever. I mean, Lucas Dostal had the game of his life.
Yeah.
2 nights later after that, or sorry, 3 nights, you go into San Jose, should absolutely beat them. And, you know, just a bit of luck or bad luck that you don't run them out of the building in the first period. And even the 4-1 score is closer than it should have been. So all three good victories, all three honest ones, like I said. And there was good reason why they felt good about themselves at practice today, not just because of the Nylander signing, which they all felt great about, but the fact they're playing good hockey and winning.
Well, and the ultimate, I guess, stroke of luck with the schedule is you come back from a Western road trip and you play the last team you played on the Western road trip, which is throws out that first game back after a road trip argument.
You're right, Jim. Two factors on that. Just what you said. And B, it happens to be the worst team in the league. Yeah. So, you know, the Leafs, they come back, they get the rest yesterday, they practice today, everything's back to normal. The body should be fine in that regard. And, you know, there's a real opportunity. It's not even, I wouldn't even say homestand, because they're on the island to play the Islanders Thursday if we're coming home with the back-to-back. It's Colorado Detroit, but there's a real opportunity to get another fourth win here for them sitting right there on Tuesday night.
Terry, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
All right, time now for Lickety Split, Yes Guy, No Guy on the way out. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that time warning. Yes Guy, No Guy number one, cap hell for the Leafs. No guy, no guy at all. There's going to be more money here coming in. The cap will go up, and you'll find over the term of this contract, it's a very good one for the player and the team. Yes Guy, No Guy number two. It was right to sign Nylander now. I'm going to say yes guy to that. There's no point to have this thing drag on any further. He answered the bell at the start of the season, adding on to a great season from the year before and the year before that. He's now entering his premium years in the NHL. I call it, he's found the next room. This is the time to sign him. That is an emphatic yes guy. And we'll go out on this. Yes Guy, No Guy. The Leafs still need help. Oh, yes guy, they do on that roster. Depth on the blue line, depth up front, and maybe depth in goal. But this is a sort of a shopping list that a lot of teams have. Yes, guy, they need help. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you enjoyed episode 137 of Leafs Guy. Hope you come back next week for episode 138.